Good morning. This is Pastor Craig, and this is What's Happening, Marion. Wow, this is the last show that I'll be doing, well, for the What's Happening, Marion, before Christmas. Can you believe it? Christmas is on Monday. Today is Friday. Wow, I tell you, it's really looking festive in here in the studio. As I mentioned last week, we got Christmas trees and wreaths, and now we're seeing all the Christmas cards that have been coming into the station, and there's the little gifts that have been coming in. You know, Scott got the mug from Meredith Keller. And there's little bags of stuff here and there. My goodness, there's just stuff everywhere. We got Christmas cookies. There's hamburger buns. No hamburgers, but just all kinds of good stuff here in the station. And just it really gives it the Christmas feel. You can tell Christmas is here. So I hope you're all doing well today, and I'm going to give you the rundown of what's happening in Marion for the next week, and actually we'll probably stretch it a little bit more than just the next week, because coming right after Christmas, we of course have the New Year's weekend. New Year's Day is on Monday the following week, and so of course that's kind of a New Year's weekend. There's not really a whole lot going on, but anyway, we'll get to it, and so let's get started. The first thing I wanted to let you know is that there are some free live Christmas trees available. If you know someone or you yourself need a Christmas tree, there are some live Christmas trees. They are free for the taking. They are at Christian Community Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. It's 209 East Water Street. And I actually drove by the church on my way here this morning, and there were still 9 Christmas trees available. So again, if you know anybody that's in need of a Christmas tree, maybe this year, you know, times were a little tough and they couldn't afford one, or they've been extra busy and hadn't had a chance to get one, you can go down there. They're right in front of the church and they are available for free. And most of them, if not all, I can't remember precisely, but most of them are a short needle. Are the short needles. There's some spruces and some other things. So again, free Christmas trees. Tonight is a free community meal at 6 o'clock, Shining Light Baptist Church. Shining Light Baptist Church is on the point where church and Mount Vernon come together or go apart, however you want to. Depends on which way you're going. You can dine in or carry out. And again, that's 6 o'clock tonight. Shining Light Baptist Church. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday is Christmas by Candlelight at the Marion County Fairgrounds from 6 to 9 p.m. And it costs anywhere from $10 to $35. Again, I don't know how they figure the cost on that when you do it. But anyway, that's go with some money in your pocket. But load up the car, drive through the road lined with luminaries to see thousands of Christmas lights and displays throughout the Marion County Fairgrounds. And they have new displays added this year, so if you went last year or 2 years ago, they've got some new stuff. So that's at the Marion County Fairgrounds. And by the way, various churches in the community are doing a live nativity, so you can see that also. Sunday is Christmas Eve, and of course, churches are having their traditional Sunday services. Many of the churches are doing Christmas Eve services in their Sunday morning services. However, I do have a list here of a few churches that are doing Christmas Eve evening services. Typically, they're a candlelight service and all that. So if you were interested in a Sunday night Christmas Eve services, these are the churches that I am aware of. First, Cornerstone Alliance Church, which is at 2010 Marion Marysville Road. And they have two, actually. They have one at 4:45, and then they have another one at 6. I was going to say something, Matt, but they wouldn't know what I was talking about. So anyway, and then, okay, so next one. You don't have to leave. No, you're not in the way. You don't have to leave. I mean, you can leave, but you don't have to leave. Okay. Okay. Another Sunday evening Christmas Eve service at Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. And it is at 9 p.m. Then in downtown Marion, the First Presbyterian Church, which is at 143 South Prospect Street, will be having their Christmas Eve evening service at 7 p.m. Also downtown Columbus, no, Marion. Oh, boy. Also downtown Marion, the Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 241 South Prospect. And they'll be having their family service at 3 p.m. and then a traditional Christmas Eve service at 8 p.m. And my guess is when they qualify that as a traditional, it's probably a candlelight and, you know, it's got traditional music and all that. So then the final church that I found that is having evening Christmas Eve services is Dayspring Wesleyan Church. Dayspring Wesleyan Church is out on, I think they call that Marion Mount Gilead Road. I know it is 95. They're across from Menards. And they're having two. They're having a 3 p.m. and a 5 p.m. So there you go. That's Christmas Eve evening services if you have an interest in any. A word of note, December 24th, 5th, and 6th, which is Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the Marion Public Library will be closed. Again, that's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, Marion Public Library is closed. Also, Monday, the city offices are closed for Christmas, and the following Monday, they are closed for New Year's. However, on New Year's Day, although they are going to be closed, at 12 noon on New Year's Day is the swearing-in ceremony of all of our newly elected officials. Sunday night. Wait a second. I got these things out of order. Okay. Wednesday the 27th. Did you mix up my index cards, Matt? When I wasn't looking, you mixed up my index cards, got them out of order. That's okay. All right. Wednesday the 27th. Is Looking for Bird's Nest at the Tall Grass Trail. You will meet at the trailhead at 2:00 on Wednesday the 27th and explore the Tall Grass Trail and seek and find some nests left behind by our feathered friends. Also on Wednesday the 27th, Wednesday, is Perfect iPhone Photos. This is at the Marion Public Library, and it's from 5:30 till 6:30. And I probably should go to this because I have an iPhone, and I just reading the description, I would learn some things, because in this class, you'll learn the fundamentals of photography, including lighting, and there will be tips and tricks on how to take photos using various iPhone camera features such as HDR, burst mode, and panorama. So this class will elevate your photography skills. Matt, when you're taking photos with your smartphone, do you have an iPhone?
I do not,
no. Okay. Does your phone have a thing that's called HDR, or do you know what HDR means?
I think HDR stands for like high definition ratio.
That would make sense. All right. Do you know how to use it on your phone? Okay. Then do you know what burst mode is?
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure when you hold down your camera button, it just takes a whole bunch of pictures.
Okay, like a burst. Okay, all right. And panorama, I know what that is. Okay, so see, this is obviously a class I should take because it's free, and I can learn these things and get more use out of my smartphone, my iPhone. Anyway, if you're interested in that, that's Wednesday night at the Marion Public Library, 5:30 to 6:30. Thursday, the 28th, Winter Tree Identification Program. This will be held at the Tallgrass Trail. Again, you meet at the trailhead at 2 p.m., come out and learn to identify some trees while they don't have their leaves. And that's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, the easiest way to identify trees and the way we learn most of our trees is by their leaves. But in this time of year, they don't have any leaves. And so if you're really good and you know your tree bark, you can identify trees by their bark, which I'm not that good at. But Tallgrass Trail, Thursday at 2, they're going to help you identify trees when they don't have their leaves. December 31st. Now, this is next week. Now I can get my cards back in order. Excuse me just a second here while we... All right. So, looking ahead to the week after Christmas, to that next weekend, is... a couple events going for New Year's Eve. So on Sunday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, there's the New Year's Eve Rock the Coliseum from 5 p.m. until 1 a.m. And this is going to be at the Marion County Fairgrounds Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Join them beginning at 5 o'clock for live music to celebrate the new year. Cost is $25. Now, it does not, I was given no information. It does not say anything about the food that is available, if any. So I don't know if they're having food available. I don't know if they have a cash bar or if they just have soft drinks or anything like that. No information was given on food and drinks, but at least you know you've got music for New Year's Eve. Also, Sunday the 31st, New Year's Eve, is the Killdeer Plains Christmas Bird Count. And actually, I don't think it's just in the evening. I think it's all day. They having the annual Marion County, Hardin County, and Wyandotte County's annual bird count. So if you're interested in being a census taker, because that's now you'd be an official census taker if you're out there counting birds, if you're interested in doing that, you are to contact the Marion County Parks District through their social media accounts. And the easiest way to contact them is through Facebook, and then you can message them through Facebook Messenger. So if you're one of those birdie type people and you want to be a census taker and count birds, there you go. That happens next Sunday. Also, next Sunday, New Year's Eve, is the Rockin' Poppin' New Year's Eve celebration, starting at 9 o'clock, lasting till, well, sometime after midnight. It'll be behind the courthouse on Center Street in downtown Marion. And they've got going on there, they've got Minute to Win It games. There's going to be a DJ dance party and more. And, of course, there will be the infamous dropping the lighted popcorn ball to count down to midnight. All right. Then on the 1st, the Monday, everything's closed. That's all you need to know. Everything's closed for New Year's Day. Right? That's all you need to know. But then on Tuesday, we got things starting back up again. Tuesday, January 2nd, story time at the Harding Presidential Museum, 10 a.m. And that is with Miss Kathy. Also on Tuesday, January the 2nd, is the fiction book discussion at the Marion Public Library, 6 p.m. Come and share your views and insights on a variety of books. Check with the library for what books will be discussed. This is on the first Tuesday of every month, so you can find out when you go in January what books they're going to be discussing the first Tuesday in February and what books they're going to be discussing in the first Tuesday on March. So anyway, that's fiction book discussion at the library. Thursdays at the library are story time. Marion Public Library, 10 o'clock and 11. They have two sessions. You don't have to stay for both, but you can go to either one, 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. This is for preschool and younger, and they do singing and rhyming and activities and stories. So that's at the Marion Public Library. Also on Thursday, January the 4th, is Teen Scene at the Marion Public Library. Need something to do after school? That's right, school's going to be back in session. Need something to do? Join us for homework help, crafts, and more. Each session will have a themed activity, crafts, and discussion time. So, folks, that's what's happening, Marion, for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. So I hope you take time to involve yourself in something going on. So Matt Morgan is my guest in here this morning. Didn't know you were going to be my guest, did you?
No, I didn't. I did not know.
So, oh, I guess I ought to turn up your microphone. That would help.
That would help.
Okay, I got you turned up now.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. So what's this I hear you slept in 2 hours?
So last night Scott told me that he had a call-in interview, so I could come in and listen to that if I wanted to, or I could show up at 9. But instead I woke up at like 7:30 and was like, no, I'm tired. So I just went back to sleep, and then I woke up at like 8:45, 9-ish, and then I put the eyes and the nose on my Christmas gift.
Yeah, which we can say because nobody else is here.
Yeah.
So really, when you got here today, it wasn't all that much ahead of me.
No, not really. about an hour to 45 minutes. Okay.
So what was your this was your first WGH Christmas party that we had Tuesday night? What was your thoughts on the Christmas party?
I think the Christmas party went really well. We had a lot of people show up. There was food, you know. It was good.
We had more food this year than we've ever had.
That's good.
At least in the 3 years that I've been going to it. Because they traditionally always had pizza. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they had pizza since day one. And they always had it. And I know that the first year I was there and the second year I was there, you had, Amber brought a plate of cookies this year, and she had brought a plate of cookies like 2 years ago. And usually there was something else, somebody else would bring a dessert, but that's all we had. We just had pizza, pop, and, you know, plates of cookies. But this year, I mean, we had shredded chicken, and we had potato chips, and we had a wide variety of cookies. So it was good.
Mary Ellen brought some fudge.
She brought some fudge, that's right. And you know what? I didn't get any.
That fudge is pretty good.
Was it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah. So the food was good. What'd you think about the Christmas party itself, the programming and everything?
I think it went good. I think it was very nice. I mean, we do the reading that we usually do, but, you know, it went just as well as I assume it usually goes.
Yeah.
Before the Christmas party started, we did the thing for Scott. That was nice.
It was nice.
I mean, all in all, I don't think it could have gone much better than what it did go.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot going on. There was a thing for Scott. There was the recognition by the mayor for Scott. And Jack Kellogg. Excuse me. Jack Kellogg came by, and he received his Upper Crust Society.
Yep.
And Mary Ellen was here, and we did all the traditional things that we do, sharing thoughts for Christmas and Christmas singing. Now, again, you don't have any past Christmas parties to compare it to for the singing, so I'll tell you this. It gets a little bit better every year. I mean, we had our weak points the other night. There were some problems with the lyrics on Noel, and there were some problems with people being able to sing the whole Wassailing song. That kind of broke down, and things like that. But by and large, I thought the singing was pretty good. It gets better every year.
You know, I think the Wassail song was good. I think we got to do that one more next year.
I'm gonna find some Wassail for next year. It's supposed to be like an old Irish beverage that they traditionally would sing and drink. And what they do is they'd go out among the trees. There's even a reference in the first verse or two about trees. And what they did is they would sing and, of course, drink. But the idea was that it was to promote the health of the trees for the next year. You know, kind of, you know, like celebrating the trees.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
I'm down with celebrating trees.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, if you make a drink, somebody will come up with something that can be celebrated.
There's got to be a reason to drink, you know. And if there's going to be a drink, you might as well make a reason.
That's right. So I thought that was good. And I thought the party went real smooth. And we had a lot of people here.
We did. There was a lot more people than what I thought that were going to show up.
Well, when we were singing, I counted 12 of us here in the room actually singing. And then there were still, at that point, three people that were out in the hallway that didn't join in on the singing. So it was quite a crowd. It was a good crowd. No fights broke out.
Surprisingly. Fighting's always entertaining.
Nobody got their keys stuck in the restroom door?
That was a good day. That was a good day.
It was on a Friday.
It was, in fact.
So I know you've probably already talked about this three times, although you weren't on the air with Scott this morning at all, were you?
No.
So I don't know, but you may have talked about some of this, but so what is your family plans for Christmas Day?
Christmas Day, we are going to go to my mom's house and open gifts, and then I think that they're having a Christmas dinner at my grandma's house.
So you'll be there for that?
Yeah.
So you'll go from your mom's house, then you'll all go over to grandma's house?
Yeah. I don't remember if the dinner is on Christmas Eve or Christmas, but either way, I do know I'm going to my mom's house to open gifts on Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, I think the dinner might be then because we go over to my grandma's house on Christmas Eve and open up the gifts that they got us there.
You got a busy Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I do.
You got... In the morning, you got to be at Carrington's house.
Loads of stuff happening.
Then you may have dinner at Grandma's. Scott's got a Christmas Eve party going on. You got a busy day.
What time is Scott's party? Do you know?
7 o'clock.
I don't know.
You're going to be eating at Grandma's.
I don't know.
It's going to be hard for you to... Hey, Grandma, it was a great dinner. Thanks, but I got to run.
See ya. Oh.
So have you thought this far ahead yet? Do you have plans for New Year's Eve?
So my parents have a New Year's party every year.
Okay.
So I requested off New Year's.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to the party.
Okay. Now, do they invite their friends or this is strictly family?
They invite their friends. There's a lot of family that do come, but like my dad's friends from work show up. I do believe there's a I do believe there are one or two people from my work who are showing up. So there's...
Okay. So it's not your typical adult party where Matt wants to not be anywhere near it. It's a good party.
It is a good party.
Especially if some of your friends from Kroger.
Yeah. I think I'll probably know just about everybody there. Okay. And if I don't know them, I'll know of them.
Yeah. Well, good. So you got busy holidays.
Always do.
Yeah. I'm going to be... Christmas Day, I'll be down at my son's house. He's got four kids, age 7 and younger. And so I'll be down there Christmas Day and watching the grandkids open their gifts and kind of hanging out there. And then not really doing much for a couple of days. And then on Thursday, I go back down to my son's house because they're going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, for a week, and somebody has to babysit their animals. They have 2 dogs, 9 barn cats, 2 pigs, and well, now there's 15 chickens. There was 14 chickens. 14 chickens. They started out with 16 chickens, and one of their chickens disappeared the day that the farmer was harvesting the corn that there is right behind my son's property. They just, one day it was there and one day it wasn't, and that was harvesting corn day. And then they had another chicken disappear last week. I think it was Christmas dinner for a hawk. Because they let their chickens out. They're free-range chickens, so they let them out to wander around. So I'll be down there. You know, it's always funny because I do this about 3 times a year. My son always asks, hey, are you available to house sit? But it's really not house sitting. It's babysitting the animals. It's animal sitting. But I enjoy it, so it'll be a good time. And so, you know, New Year's Eve will just be me and chickens and cats and dogs and pigs.
Nice. You know, I guess somebody's got to make sure that they make it out of it, you know?
That's right. Yep. Well, and, you know, every day about noon, you go out and you gather up all the eggs that have been laid. I got to tell you, my son built this chicken coop for these chickens. He built it itself. It's probably, I don't really know, but it's probably 10 foot. It's probably 10 foot. It's probably 8 foot by 12 foot or something close to that. I mean, it's a good size. Built the shelves and everything for them to lay their eggs in. And, you know, on the back side, you got a hatch you can lift up and you can get the eggs and really nice. And the ladder in there they can climb. And then he put in a door where they can go out the door, and then they're in a penned in area that's probably twice the size of the chicken coop. So they've got this yard where they're still penned in. So it's a pretty nice setup. Well, they started letting them, it was about 3 months ago, they started letting them just out into the yard because he's got like 2 acres. And so he let them out into the yard. And so every day they're out in the yard, you know, a true free range chicken, and they're out there doing all their stuff and everything. And, forget where I was going with all that. But anyhow, I guess that's how one of them got picked off by the hawk. Oh, I know what I was going somewhere else with it. So part of the chicken coop, you know, they got the place where they like hop up on a shelf. They're like in a little cubby and they lay their eggs in there. And he can access them from the outside because it's against the back wall, and then you just lift up this lid and reach down in there, and there are the eggs. So that's where they traditionally were laying their eggs. Well, when he started letting them out to free range, you know, they you know, at first they wouldn't travel very far. You know, they wouldn't get more than 20 feet from their from the chicken coop. And then, you know, every few days they get a little braver and a little braver, and they start going a little further and a little further. They're to the point now where they will even, like, leave his property and go into the edge of the cornfield, you know, to find stuff. I guess they get a lot of good bugs out of the cornfield and everything. But this, at the same time, they discovered his pole barn. And in his he's got a pretty good-sized pole barn. That's where we work on the trucks for the business, and it's where we store all our supplies. And he's got a big train table set up that's probably – it's probably a good – it's probably a good 10 by 15 table where he has model trains set up. And so it's a good sized garage. Well, anyway, he has some flags that are like NASCAR flags and that type of thing. He had about three or four of those that he had taken down to move around some stuff, and he kind of put them over on a workbench. Well, darned if the chickens didn't hop up on the workbench to the little pile of flags and start laying eggs there. So now we have, and that's actually their preferred spot. They seem to like that better than the chicken coop. So now we got two eggs, we got or two places we got to search for the eggs.
My grandpa has some free-range chickens, and they were roughly the same way. He also built their chicken coop. Theirs isn't that big, though. He's got like 12, I think. But usually I don't ever go into the little penned-in enclosure area. They always free roam. But usually the eggs that he gets are from they do lay them in the roost. Yeah. But sometimes you'll just find them laying about on the ground because when they're free roaming, they just decide, oh, now's a good time, and they just put it somewhere, you know. You just find an egg laying on the ground.
They don't seem to mind where they leave their children.
Nope.
So that's always a fun time down there. So that's where I'll be for New Year's. That's about it. I'm going to Indianapolis in the end of January. I'm going to spend a couple days in Indianapolis. We have the big trade show every year for those of us that are in the sanitation business. They have it's for like everybody that – I mean, it's for like the whole deal. It's for people that have portable toilets. It's for people that pump septic tanks, that people that install septic tanks. And they even have stuff there for like municipal, you know, sewage plants where, you know, they got those big hydrovac trucks that they can suck out a sewer and run cameras down through them. So it's the big trade show for that. So I'm looking forward to that. Go to Indianapolis for a couple days and go to class, because we have to, for our state license every year, we have to have 6 hours of continuing education. So
you have to have a license?
Oh, Matt, let me tell you. I was thinking that it's interesting that you say that, because I was actually thinking about this the other day. Yes, we have to have a license with the state of Ohio. If you pump septics, if you haul septic, you install, you know, you have portable toilets, anything like that, you have to have a license from the state of Ohio. It's how they keep track of everybody and regulate everybody. And, you know, you got to renew it every year. But I got thinking about it. And almost any kind of business that you have, you've got at least one and sometimes two or more licenses that you have to get with the state of Ohio. Like, for instance, if you're doing in new construction, if you're doing the electric, you got to be a licensed electrical contractor. You got to be a licensed plumbing contractor. You know, any of those things where you're doing that, you need to be licensed by the state of Ohio. And then I got thinking about it. If you have a retail business, you have to have a vendor's license, collect sales tax. So that's with the state of Ohio. You know, and we could go on and on. I mean, just It's really interesting that just about any type of business you have to have a license with the state of Ohio.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's how they get more money, and B, they keep tabs on you. So part of the requirements for your license every year to renew it is when you go to renew it for the next year, during that course of the year, you had to have 6 hours of continuing education. And actually, they require that from a lot of the different professions that that they license. So always learning.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I always just kind of figured, I mean, I didn't know you would need a license. I thought you would just buy a whole bunch of porta pots and then all of a sudden just start renting them to people.
Well, no, and it goes even further than that because, okay, once I get my state license, now I have to be registered with the county health department in any county that I do business in. So in other words, if I got porta pots here in Marion County, I have to be registered with Marion County Health Department. And of course, there is a fee involved in that. I mean, they got to have their money. You have to provide an annual truck inspection, any trucks that are going to be driven in that county. So yeah, there's a lot that really goes into it. And what's crazy is it's cheaper to have that state license than the county registrations. In other words, what we pay the state for our license is minimal. But what we pay the county for every county that we do business in is every county can set their own fees. There's not a fee schedule provided by the state, by the state health department. Every county health department can set their own fee. And it's they do their own thing. For instance, there's a county that we are registered in that it's $100 to register for that year in the county, and that includes one truck at no charge. But if you have more than one truck that you operate in it, then you have to pay an additional $10 for every truck. So like if I had three trucks, I'd pay the $100 plus, I'd have another $20 I'd have to pay for my trucks registered there. But they are allowed to set their own schedule. So what we have found in our doing business, and we've done business in as many as 18 counties, and that gets pretty pricey. If you're going to register in, like, say, 15 counties that year, that's 15 counties you got to pay their fee. And the lowest county that I know of is $100, and the most expensive county that I know of is $250. So the prices are all over the board.
I feel like that's a bit excessive for some inspection fees, but you know.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you. So one county that we were doing business in a couple years ago when we registered, they had a new county inspector and brand new on the job. And when she was inspecting our truck, it was the first truck that she had inspected. And she admitted that she knew absolutely nothing about the trucks. And so so she had on her clipboard, she had her form. Because in the form, you know, they check off everything and they fill in the little boxes and write on the line. But they have a list that they can go down. So I walked her through the checklist that she had for the county and explained some of the things to her. Because some of the things on there, she had no idea what they were. So I didn't get a discount from the county for educating their employee. But I passed the inspection.
I thought that was a thing the county should have done before they sent her out there to inspect trucks, but
yeah.
You know.
I guess in some situations, in some counties, you don't really have to have a whole lot of experience. They just need that body in there, and they'll let you learn as you go along.
I guess. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, let me do my own inspection and you just sign off on it.
Yeah.
But by and large, again, it's mainly just a way of collecting money because, I mean, you register with the county and you never hear from them after that until next year when you go. And, you know,
until it's time to re-register.
Yep. Fortunately, if you have a county do the inspection on your truck, typically you do it in your home county. Now, my son lives in Madison. I, at the time, lived in Morrow. So, you know, we had a couple of different counties that we could choose from. But anyhow, if you get it, you get an inspection in your home county and your truck passes, so to speak, then that inspection will be accepted by all the other counties. So that's the one good thing. You at least you don't have to run to every single county and get inspected. You still have to register, but at least you don't have to get inspected. So you can get inspected once and just send a copy of it to every county.
What if it's a different truck?
Well, see, that's the thing. Then you have to have every truck inspected. So if you only have one truck, then you only have one inspection. But if you have three trucks, then you got to have three truck inspections. So what you usually do in a situation like that is make arrangements to get, you know, would call the county and you say, hey, I'm, you know, we'd like to get all three trucks inspected so that you're not running around going crazy. Oh yes, the world of doing business. The government has their hand in your business more than you realize for almost any business. I mean, I was aware of some of these things from, you know, I'd worked for a guy that did plumbing and did pumped septic tanks, and I'd driven trucks for a trash company. So, you know, like I was aware of some of this kind of stuff, but you really don't realize how much the government is involved in your business until you start a business.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think that they got to regulate it.
Yep.
I don't know if they got it, but they do.
They do. So I got to tell you a funny story. So when my son and I started the business 5 years ago, and we ordered some toilets, and we were working on getting a truck to, you know, a pumper truck to pump out the toilets. And we got our toilets in, and we actually got some toilets rented before we had our pumper truck. And so, you know, we take these toilets out and, you know, I'm talking to my son, I'm like, how are we gonna pump these things out? How are we gonna clean these toilets? And he said, I don't know, I'll figure something out. So he was still working on getting a truck, and it got time to, we had to go clean them. So what he, and it worked. This was the amazing thing, was that it worked. But what he did was took a 55-gallon drum, cut a hole in the top of it, mounted it on a trailer, and then put the top of a shop vac in the top of this 55-gallon steel drum, and it worked. I mean, we pumped out toilets. As a matter of fact, we went about a month pumping out toilets that way. And I happened to run into the inspector for a health department. And because obviously we didn't have our truck inspected because we hadn't got our truck yet. We were still a couple weeks out from getting our truck. And I ran into an inspector and I hadn't inspected. And he goes, you know, like, what are you doing? So I explained it to him. And he said, well, that's not acceptable. And I said, what's wrong with it? And I go, it works and it doesn't leak. I mean, it technically could pass an inspection because everything it had to have and it didn't have any leaks or anything. Everything was proper. So it could pass an inspection, but he goes, that's not going to pass inspection. And I said, where does it fail on the inspection? And he didn't really have an answer. And the more he looked at it, the more he said, well, I've just never seen anything like that before. So we were told we had to get a real setup, which we did. But it was really kind of funny because, well, I'd never seen anything like that. Well, it works. So I was running around for about 6 weeks with a.
I think that if I mean, calendar. Like I said, I think that if they couldn't find where it was going to fail inspection, they should have just let it go.
I know, but the problem was he couldn't. He just couldn't get himself to sign off that it had passed, but he couldn't find anywhere that it failed. So he just, I'm not signing it. But anyway, so that's kind of the. Kind of the fun of, you know, being in business, starting out a new business. So we found a pump truck and we got everything. You know,
nice.
And we do everything on the up and up, you know, since then. But, hey, you know, sometimes when you're starting out, you do what you got to do. And you got to make it work. And we made it work. We made it work. It's just the government didn't like it.
That's bound to happen at least once or twice.
Yep. Well, Scott, boy, oh boy. Matt, thank you for joining me this morning. And I want to thank all of you listeners out there for joining me. I will be back next Friday for What's Happening, Marion. And we may find between now and then maybe some other things going on New Year's Eve. But... I don't know, but you know of a couple things coming up. So I'll see you next Friday here at 11 o'clock or 11:15. I will be back next hour with Matt Morgan and Scott Spears for the Exchange Club. And then I will also be here at 1 o'clock today for Study His Word. And I have a special guest, and I'm not going to make a big secret about it. Nate Redman, who used to be host the show on this station, Nate Redman's coming back to be with me at 1 o'clock, and we're going to talk about Christmas and some other things, and we're going to talk about some of the things going on in Marion that kind of fits with my What's Happening Marion, but we'll be talking about some things related to some churches, so that fits my 1 o'clock. So anyway, I'll see you back at 12 and then again at 1. Until then.
The place for the holiday season. For legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
Exactly right. Now, Pat, at Christmas time, do you...